Please be seated. And turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we'll begin our reading at verse 19. We'll read through the end of the chapter just to see the scope of what's here. We're focusing on the first section here, but we'll read to the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We'll end our reading there. Well, how many of you watched the Olympics? Anybody? A few? Not too many? We spent a little time watching the Olympics at our house. If you watch the Olympics, of course, there's all that pomp and ceremony at the beginning, and every nation is trying to impress and outdo the previous nation's pomp and ceremony of their opening and closing ceremonies. And so here is that setting. And at the end of the broadcast, they'll have the medals count. Anybody know how many medals the U.S. won? Nobody's willing to admit they know. 28, 29, something like that. Yes, that's where it's at. And now this group is not one that will particularly know those pieces of information, but some could tell you down how many gold, how many silver, how many bronze, and which countries had the most. They have all of that. And if you think about the Olympics and you think about the work that goes into it, and these athletes, years and years of training and everything goes into a literally a few seconds competition. The bobsled, for me is one of these things that they have spent 4 years to go down the hill four times, and they win or lose by literally hundredths of a second. And this is their life. And they are completely taken by this. It's all they focus on. This was what they were doing. And so these athletes are so dedicated to all that was going on. And then some would fall before they ever completed a run, going down the hill, and their Olympic debut and career is over in one short instant. But this is what they were living for. This is what they spent years, and then some come back, and they come back, and they come back. And so we need to ask that question, what are they living for? And we have to ask ourselves, what am I living for? What drives me? What do I want out of life? Do I want to be able to stand on that podium and receive that gold medal and bite on it to show what it is, that it's silver or gold or whatever it's that's there? What are we about in these instances? There's a young man at work where I work. I told you I work at Advance Auto. And he has his heart set on a motorcycle right now. And he is giving up lots of things in his life so that he can have this beautiful red motorcycle. And he just, the last few couple of days, I just can't wait. I can't wait till I can get that motorcycle. And it's just everything to him. Barb, he said I can ride it. We'll have to talk about that later. Because I used to have a motorcycle, and so I understand something of his desire for this motorcycle. This thing that he was treasuring in his life, and he just can't wait. What do we treasure in our life? What is it that's so valuable to us? Well, our passage here, and we're focusing on verses 19 through 21, show us something of the treasures. And there's two types of treasures. We're looking at earthly treasures and heavenly treasures. And so we first of all want to see what happens with our earthly treasures. What goes on with them? Well, James chapter 5 helps us see a little bit more about what's going on with our treasures. James 5 verse 1 says this, "Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you." Why are they miserable? What's the issue? Verse 2, it says, "Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days." And there's the picture of those who are trying to have that earthly treasure and what happens to it. Cloth, clothing, the moths destroy these things. The metals, they're gold and silver. What happens? Even over time, these precious metals, which are not always totally precious, begin to have corrosion and rust upon them. That which we would imagine would be permanent forever is not. And we see it in our own lives. We talked a little bit about that this morning. Whether it's my house, my car, my bank account, my computer. Anybody ever lose a computer in life? And all that data on it? Our toys, our bodies, our families. All of these things that we try to store up, that we try to keep up, are sooner or later going to go the way of dust. They're going to rust. They're going to be corrupted. There's something's going to happen. Sometimes our earthly treasures are taken from us. There's an interesting passage in Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28 talks about this very thing. Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 1. "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is proud, and you have said, I am a god, I sit in the seat of the gods in the heart of the seas, yet you are but a man and no god. Though you make your heart like the heart of a god, you are indeed wiser than Daniel. No secret is hidden from you by your wisdom and your understanding. You have made wealth for yourself, and you've gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. By your great wisdom and your trade, you have increased your wealth, and your heart has become proud in your wealth. Do we know people like this? That set themselves up. Look what I've accomplished. Look at my estate. You see those infomercials. You can be like me. Let me give you 7 tips to this incredible wealth. You can have everything that I have if you follow what I've done. And some of them set themselves up almost like gods. You follow me, join my group, and it'll be wonderful and perfect for you. Well, that's what is being spoken of this Prince of Tyre. And here he is, proud and wealthy, and I am virtually like a god. Well, it goes on to say this, verse 6. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you make your heart like the heart of a god, therefore, behold, I will bring foreigners upon you, the most ruthless of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. They shall thrust you down into the pit, and you shall die the death of the slain in the heart of the sea. Will you still say, I am a god, in the presence of those who kill you? Though you are but a man and no god, in the hands of those who slay you, you shall die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of foreigners. For I have spoken, declares the Lord God. The judgment comes upon that man who says, I am so great. We know Nebuchadnezzar, the same thing, set himself up, and God brings him down to that of being an animal. He who thought he was so great, these things are taken away. Our earthly treasures will be taken from us by force. This is what they have to look forward to. Well, what's the other result? Another example, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Again, a familiar passage. The man who builds the barns, right? Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. We have the beginning of this, and he has this set up, and here he is with all of this in place. And so now he says, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build large ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. Have you heard that kind of thing before? Do you know people have this value and way of living life? And what does God say to him? Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. These things will be taken from us. They'll be taken either from us or we'll be taken from them by death. Now, is it wrong to build bigger barns if you have God's plenty? Well, yes and no. No, when you see God's hand in this, when you are not setting yourself up as God, when you're not proud and it's all that I've been done, when you see God and His mercy and His blessings upon you, then it's not a bad thing. God does prosper us. But it is wrong when it's done selfishly, when it's done excluding God and saying, this is not God's, this is my work, this is my stuff. Then we are indeed in grave danger, as this parable showed about this rich man and his crops. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we read that earlier, says this, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. We need to be aware that this is what happens to those who acquire, who get all of these goods. And it says in verse 10, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." And once again, I think we've heard this, but we need to point out it's not money that is evil, but it's my love of money. It's my craving and desire for money that tends towards evil. And that's what we need to be aware of. We need to remind ourselves of this. And then he goes on, "Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Do you see what earthly treasures do? This is the result. Either we lose them, they're taken from us, or they pull us away from God. They drive us to do what is evil. And so that's the picture that we see, that Matthew tells us these earthly treasures and the things that will come from them are not what we would desire. Well, what about the heavenly treasures? Matthew 6:20 talks about the heavenly treasures. Well, what is heavenly treasure? You know, we say very simply, yes, it doesn't rust, it's not corrupt, it's not stolen. We know these things, but what is the heavenly treasure that we're looking for? Psalm 103, verse 17 and 18. "But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts." The Lord's love. There's some of that heavenly treasure. Isaiah chapter 33. This should sound familiar to you. I read this as our call to worship. "The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation for your times. A rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure." If there's a treasure box, how do you get it opened? It's through the fear of the Lord. And in that box, we find that rich store of the salvation that we talked about this morning. And then wisdom and knowledge. All of these things are what that heavenly treasure is for us. Well, what else do we think of when we think of this treasure? Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had, and he bought that field." The very kingdom of God is the treasure, the heavenly treasure that we will desire, and it will be a joyful thing to come to that kind of treasure. Well, what else do we have as our heavenly treasure? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our treasure. Paul writes in Philippians 3, chapter 8, "What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." Everything is lost. Yeah, everything. Do you know that kind of loss? And putting Jesus first, for whose sake... He says, "For Jesus' sake, for whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ." Knowing Christ is a heavenly treasure, and nothing can compare to it. That's what Paul is telling us here. And that's what we need to realize. That's the heavenly treasure. Another verse, Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. "My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This is the heavenly treasure that we should be looking for. Well, what's true about this treasure, this heavenly treasure? Well, it says it doesn't deteriorate. It doesn't go bad. It doesn't go broken, any of these kind of things. This is a picture we have. Luke chapter 12, verse 33, talks about these things for the disciples. And he's sending them out and he says to them this, "Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys." That's what we're to be about. These things will not wear out. They won't be stolen. They won't be destroyed. Your money and possessions should free you to help the poor. You should not be hoarding. Remember, we saw that in James, where the rich, they hold on to it, they bury it, they hold that man who had the talent and buries it in the ground so he won't lose it. That's the picture of what we're not to be about. We're to give generously of the things we have so that we don't have a purse or a bank account that we can say, look at this thing, it's incredible, but it's only here. We're to be building that treasure in heaven. That's what God calls us to do. And so this one, we already saw that things rust and they corrupt, but they can be taken. But this one can't be taken. This treasure cannot be taken from us. Our salvation, John chapter 10, 28, this is a verse that we hold on to. "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." You know, we can lose our treasure on this earth, whether it's people or goods or things, but that promise is incredible. Eternal life, never perish, never taken away from Him. That's a treasure worth having. Well, how do you store up these treasures? How does this come about? Well, let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we see there something of what's going on and how we understand. How can we do this for ourselves? How could this come about? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. It says this, "Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world." Every one of us has stuff today that you did not bring into the world. When you came into the world, you came in kicking and screaming, and you had nothing. And when you go out, all the stuff that you've gathered, you know, what did the pharaohs do in Egypt? They built pyramids. They took all of their stuff that they could take, and they packed them into the pyramids. And they even took their servants sometimes and packed them into the pyramids because they were going to take it with them. But what the scripture says, we brought nothing into the world and we're not taking anything with us. Nothing. So we are to be content. We're to be happy with what God has given us. And that's how we start to store heavenly treasures, when we realize we're not taking what we have with us. It has nothing beyond this world. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, Paul says this, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me the strength." That's where contentment comes. Paul could say, whether it's this or that, little or a lot, these are the things that, and how does it happen? Not because I work this up in myself. Paul says at the very end, I can do everything through him who gives me the strength. You can't do it on your own. You need God's strength to do these things. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Do you have that attitude? Do you have that sense that if God is for me, it doesn't matter? It doesn't matter what I have, a little or a lot. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us in this life. So that's what we need to do. We need to be content. Next, we need to fight the good fight of faith. Again, back in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 says, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things, the love of money, all these things he's talked about. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. You want to store up treasures in heaven? This is what you do. Pursue the good fight. Pursue godliness. Pursue wisdom. It goes on to tell us this. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made that good confession. I charge you to do this. Keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be in a battle. Ephesians 6 tells us we have armor, we have weapons, we have all of these things. We're to fight the good fight of the faith, taking hold of the eternal life. And that feeds what we are to be, content in God. And that builds treasures, not here, but that heavenly treasure that is before us. And so in this situation, we are to, third, put our hope in God, not in our riches. Put your hope in God, not in your riches. Look at verse 17. As for the rich in this age, in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Don't be proud. Don't say, hey, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. He says, don't be haughty. Don't be proud. The rich are not to be that way. Don't set your hopes on the things that you have set in the bank. All you have to do is think back a few years when the market crashed and people lost their fortunes. I don't know if anybody has any of that bit money. You know, one whole website disappeared with thousands upon thousands, millions of dollars of this bit money. And it's gone. Well, those people had their hope in that. And it's gone in the flash of an internet blip. What are you hoping in? Don't put your hope in these things. They're uncertain. But God provides us with everything to enjoy. That's what the Bible says. That's what the passage says to us. We're to love these things. He goes on to say this. 1 Timothy chapter 4, a little bit far earlier before this. He says, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. You want to store up treasures in heaven? Humbly put your trust in God, not your riches, not your stuff in life. And then lastly, if you want to build this treasure house in heaven, be rich in good deeds. be rich in good deeds. Look at chapter 6 here in 1 Timothy verse 18. There to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Thus, storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. You know, the guys I work for who desire the good things, the people you live with, the people you rub shoulders, they're looking to get ahead in this life. They're looking to make it in this life, to be great and content and relaxed, and just like that man, be relaxed, be merry, enjoy life. That's what they're looking to do. But if you want to store up treasures in heaven, then be doing this, doing good, rich in good works, generous, ready to share. And then you will store up these treasures for the future. Remember our eternal inheritance that we talked about this morning. That's what you're doing in this. And that's the real life that we have ahead of us. So this passage ends with, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." There will your heart be also. You cannot separate the things you treasure and your heart. What you believe to be most important is what you treasure. You need to be aware of this fact, that this may be a warning to you. You may need to hear this as a warning. What you are focusing your time and your energy and your money on is your treasure. And it may not be the treasure you should be focusing on. Your treasure shows you your heart. Matthew chapter 12, 35. "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." And so John gives us this warning in his 1 John letter, chapter 2, verse 15. And hear this warning. "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. But no, the world and its desires pass away. But the man who does the will of God lives forever." What do you love? What is at your heart? What has your heart in hold? What's gripping your heart? Where is your treasure chest? Is it in your room? Is it in your house? Is it the land you have? Do you have your treasure chest at your workplace? On your computer? On your iPhone? On Facebook? On Pinterest? Where's your heart? What's grabbed you? Where are you putting all of your time, money, and energy into? That's where your treasure is, and it shows your heart. When you open up that treasure box, what are you going to find inside? What's going to be in your treasure box? Not what you hope will be in your treasure box. Not what you wish was in your hope, in your treasure box. Not what you hope others would see in your treasure box. I'm asking you, what is really in your treasure box? What's there? Is it a treasure that's going to last? That you can come before God and say, "Here's the treasures that I have accumulated for you." Do you want a treasure that lasts? The rich young ruler found out what it would take for him to get that kind of treasure. In Luke chapter 18, verse 18, a certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and your mother. And that young man says, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Wouldn't we say something like that ourselves? Yeah, look, I'm doing pretty good on all of these. And then it goes on, when Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Wow. What if God came to you and said, sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven? God said that to this young man. He said, do that. Then come, follow me. That's all this rich man had to do. But what happened? It says in verse 23, when he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. And we don't know the outcome for that man. But whatever it is that he treasured, his wealth, at least at this point, was too much to give up. I need to give up whatever it is that I am treasuring, that I am holding on to on this earth, that I just can't imagine giving up. There was a young lady in our church up in Canada struggling with her life. And she had a job at a local grocery store. And the elders of the church said, you should give this job up. It's not helping you in your life. And she said, I'll give up everything but that job. And in that job, she met a man who took her on the path that she did not need, should not have gone on. Because she wouldn't give up that job. What are we holding on to that we're unwilling to let go of in our life that we need to do? Possessions, pleasures, the internet, pornography, a lifestyle, family, friends, our career, our jobs, freedom to say, I'm going to do what I want to do. What is it that we hold on to? We need to turn that over to Him, to turn away from those things, and then follow Him. Follow Him. Just follow Him. Turn your life over to Him. Christ said to be this rich young ruler, He says it to us. Follow me. This is the gospel call. This is what we're called to. What's in your treasure chest? Do you know the treasure that God wants you to have? Are you storing up that treasure in heaven that will never rust, never decay, never be taken? That is that eternal inheritance, salvation for life. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we treasure so many things. We treasure our families, our situations, the things we have. None of these are going to survive beyond this world. We came with nothing, we go out with nothing. And so, Lord, I would pray that if there are those here who treasure what is not going to last, that you would show us these things, that we're treasuring what is corrupt, what is of no value. And Lord, I pray that we would store up treasures in heaven, treasures that we will know forever in your presence. And Lord, if there are those who don't know you, who are storing up treasures and don't have any notion of storing up treasures for you, who don't even care, I pray that your Spirit would work upon those hearts, that they would set aside the things of this earth. You said, do not love the world or anything in the world because your love is not in them. And so, Lord, if there are those who love the world more than they love you, I pray that you would come upon them in power, that you would change hearts of stone that are dead in their sin and make them alive in Jesus Christ, that they might have eyes to see what is truly valuable, what is worth treasuring, that we would know your grace and your mercy, that we would know salvation in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.